We called you the big sister of manufacturing.
Ew.
I called
like
you
like your awful thing that you told me earlier. I could be the mom brand. What is that?
That was a joke.
Last I checked, Nick.
Hey, Jason Zenger here. You should know more about AMT, the Association for Manufacturing Technology. They are the industry representative group that gives us IMTS and more, including bridging the gap between IT and manufacturing at their Silicon Valley AMT Tech Lab, expanding globally through their AMT Tech Centers in China, India, and Mexico, along with representation in Europe and Brazil. Custom research for strategic planning and member meetups that bring manufacturing leaders together. To join the AMT community, reach out to Chrissy Hahn at AMT at chahn@amtonline.org or discover more at amtonline.org.
Nicole.
Hey.
You're here. We're kicking off another new show.
I love it.
So, you know, we're launching all these new podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
The Nick and Nicole Show. What do you think?
Oof. Okay. Need some work, but I kind of like it. You know, it's you're naming me twice, so it's awesome.
Yeah. People call you Nick?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Okay.
Do they call you Nicole?
No,
they might now.
Not when they're being nice.
Welcome to Making Chips. As manufacturing leaders, we go through seasons. Seasons of struggle and seasons of celebration. But if you are connected to a community of leaders, you will be equipped to make the most of the peaks, and you'll be inspired to move quickly through the valleys. What you will hear is not just our opinion. It is the battle-tested testimonial and advice of a manufacturing leader just like you. So listen up and take notes. Welcome to Making Chips Seasons.
So, Nicole.
Hey.
It's not the Nick and Nicole Show. It's just Making Chips. Oh. That was a bad idea. I'm sorry.
What do you mean? I thought it was great. I was getting really hyped about that.
I mean, it's so lame. It sounds like a local news show, like local radio.
Isn't this what this is? We're in Rockford. I kind of thought that's what we're going for.
Yeah, we're trying here, but no, it's not. We just got to do Making Chips. Stick with what works. But I am pumped to record with you.
Good.
We did an awesome episode that got a lot of great feedback last time on, what was the title? Oh, What is a Woman in Manufacturing?
There you go.
We're going to do something kind of along those lines. We'll still keep with the female motif today, and we're going to talk about why a female entrepreneur should select the manufacturing industry. You know, you're trying to figure out where to start your business. You've got an entrepreneurial edge. So why manufacturing is actually a good fit for females to start a business. And before we do that, we're going to get into some manufacturing news, if that's okay.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
The global manufacturing industry is full of twists and turns, but what does it mean for you? The Making Chips hosts have hand-selected the latest news, and they're about to give you their perspective. No hot takes, no political garbage, just commentary from the perspective of a manufacturing leader. This is MWMN, Metalworking Manufacturing News.
All right, Nicole, I found some statistics. You know, I'm a statistics guy. And in the statistics, I found it was about U.S. women-owned manufacturers. So there's key facts and trends. And I got a shout out. Where did I get this from? It is from MNI Exclusive. So it was collected by the MNI compiler and publisher. They do like business profiles of the nation's top 350,000 manufacturers since 1912. Wow, that's a long time. Anyway, I'm going to ask you, take a wild guess. How many woman-owned companies are in the United States for manufacturing companies?
For manufacturing?
Yeah.
I want to say maybe like 20,000, 30,000.
6,431.
Oh my God. That's brutal.
I thought I remember there being like, I don't know, 60,000 job shops.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And so...
And now none of them are really...
Yeah.
Women, that's bad.
And what else this shows me is that this is just women-owned manufacturing companies, not even just job shops. And I think I remember there was something like, I don't know, Ian Stringer was on and he told us how many job shops there were.
Okay.
So I don't have a memory that's that good, but maybe someone had been listening recently.
Women have memories that are really good. You know, like if I knew that stat off the bat, I'd be able to help you.
Yeah, probably a lot better than most men. All right. And the Midwest accounts for the most women-owned manufacturers. So heck yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, though.
What other region of the country do you think is just right behind the Midwest?
I would say West Coast.
It's the U.S. South. The South. So
really?
I think probably like more the Southeast, I would imagine, but I don't know. It just says the U.S. South. It doesn't really show me how the regions are divided. Yeah, Midwest has 2,094 of the 6,431. The South, 1,839. The Mountain and Pacific, only 1,263. And then the East Coast, 1,235. So that's how they break it up.
Okay. So yes, Midwest, representing.
Yeah. Okay. Out of that group,
okay,
how many are minority owned?
Oh, I would say like 1,000.
Yeah, 20%. So 20% of this. So that's, I don't know, I think a decent amount. So 20% of those woman-owned manufacturers are female minorities. And that's you, Nicole.
That's me.
Yeah,
I'm one of those stats. How exciting.
Yeah, you made it. You made it to this list. Your moment to shine is here.
So. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just interesting data in comparison to like
everything else.
Yeah, it's just too small of a slice, I think. But
obviously,
at the end of the day, though, like manufacturing isn't for everybody. It's not easy.
No, I mean, when you told me we were going to record this, I told you I had a day from hell and I was going to get on here and be like, you know what? Today is not the day that I really should be discussing, because if it was up to me, I'd be like, don't do it.
No, yeah, just don't start a business at all.
No.
Wouldn't a business be great if we just didn't have any employees or customers?
Or just drama in some sort of capacity. Yeah. Just even driving here was a nightmare. It's always something.
Yeah, I know. You had to go through some rough parts of town to get here to our shop.
But it's all back roads. I'm not used to that.
Yeah, no.
Seeing all the cows.
No, when I visited you, it was actually a pretty fun drive. I'd rather have that drive than a highway drive where you got to deal with all these idiots on the highway.
I don't know. So. I like to go fast. Yeah. When I'm behind a tractor, I start to really get anxious here. Yeah, right.
So, okay, let's dive into like, should women entrepreneurs choose the manufacturing industry? You obviously have perspective on this that I don't.
I would think so.
As a man.
I am a woman in manufacturing.
Right. And so, okay, I got another article to kind of help with some fodder for this, and it comes from Production Machining.
Okay.
And so, I don't know if you, is it Anissa?
It's Anissa, yeah.
Anissa?
I do know her. She's great.
Okay, so I don't know her, but before my time, a long time ago, years ago, she was on Making Chips.
Okay.
And I don't even know what the episode was about necessarily, but it was pretty cool. She's actually like the author of this article that I found.
Oh, love it.
And so, I'm just going to say like some of what she said in it, and then I want to hear your thoughts. So,
okay.
She writes, I had resisted the idea for years because I didn't like the perceived stigma that I was looking for special treatment.
Facts. I can understand that.
And the idea that she's resisting is like becoming a certified woman-owned business.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get it.
I should have given that context. But she writes, we compete in the marketplace on our own merits. So I wasn't sure if certification was right for us. What I learned, however, was that as a woman-owned manufacturer, we are part of a small demographic with barriers to entry for OEM business that can be high, making relationships and these supplier diversity circles very helpful. The certification helps some of my existing customers meet their diversity goals, and it opens up doors to new opportunities. She also benefits from sharing opportunities within this group, like when she's not the best fit for a machined part.
She sends it to another woman. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It's kind of like a cool community. So what are your thoughts on her, the resistance towards it? Like, I don't know if I should do that.
Oh, that's what I was saying earlier, like facts. I totally get that. I mean, there's been plenty of times too where you just want to be like one of the boys, right? You don't want to kind of be like, oh, I'm that woman-owned business. Give me the business and kind of use that as like your token.
Yeah.
And so I get that, because when you're trying so hard to just kind of relate and be a part of this crew that you think is hard to attain in general as a woman and be a part of that, I could see the resistance. But when you're wanting to grow and you want to go after certain, I would say, government contracts, something with larger volume, it's a great way. Plus, like she says, we're a small community already.
Right.
How great when you get to interact with other women that are manufacturers and be able to play on each other's strengths and kind of keep it in this little niche that we have. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you're not winning it on your own merit.
Correct. Yeah.
It's just that I think some really valid reasons. There's some, I guess, rules or guidelines or standards in place for like certain percentages of business.
Yeah, yeah.
And she writes about that. I'll just say it in her words. So what is driving the need for supplier diversity? consumers are becoming more and more conscious of the ethics and origins of their products. And a lot of Fortune 500 companies are stepping up their efforts to become more socially responsible. Additionally, when the federal government got involved in restructuring large automotive companies after the last major recession, they put stipulations on the automakers that included supplier diversity goals. So there are many companies in the automotive, government, medical, and consumer goods space that have a supplier diversity spend target, and it ranges between 1% and 10% for minority and women-owned businesses. So many struggle to meet these goals without certification that they are, in fact, a woman-owned or a minority business. So I think there's like two sides of it. Like, okay, if it's really about the merits, then why have this almost affirmative action type goal? On the other end, that it is out there. If I was a female, if I was a minority, I would absolutely be certified. So what are your thoughts on, like, obviously we're not the politicians, but
I don't know. I think I am.
I mean, what do you think about that? Is it good overall for the overall economy?
Arching theme? Yeah. I think so. Why not? Right. I mean, if you're going to leave money on the table, you might as well keep it in the U.S., right? Because they're going to take this stuff and they're going to be like, all right, we didn't meet it. We didn't match it. So they're going to find somewhere else to place it.
Right.
And that's sad, right?
Yeah.
Because when you think about entrepreneurship and then women getting into this type of field, they already know off the bat that they could be woman-owned and they can go after some of that 1% to 10%. That's a huge win because then they could use that to start growing and going into maybe other industries that have that opportunity and they can hire more people. So to me, it's like, it's almost like a great starter pack for someone that's trying, or if they're looking for a place to grow, why not? I mean, who cares about affirmative action? You know, like there's enough for everybody to go around. Right. And like you just said, there's only 6,000 of us. There's not that many. Yeah, so I think it's awesome.
It's pretty silly to be upset about it.
Yeah. Right?
The other 90% is available to anybody. And so I think it's a good thing too. Are you a certified woman-owned business? Did you go through that whole process?
No, so I am now. So it's a really interesting kind of development that we're talking about it because for so long, I've been begging my dad to just, can we do something? Mm-hmm. Like we're leaving stuff on the table. And I think it would be great because I'm now really heavily involved in aerospace and defense. And they're really looking for that.
Sure.
And also a lot of my other OEMs on like the food, bev, and pack side are looking for it too. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, isn't it so great to be able to say I'm woman owned? I hire a lot of women. A lot of my interns that are in engineering are young females. It's so cool to be able to say that I've got this. And finally, because he's retiring in June, whoop, whoop, he was like, all right, let's really dive into it. Let's look into it. And so I've bought now the majority of the shares. And so we started the whole cert process. But I'm excited to be able to say, like, here I am.
Right?
Yeah, like, you do. You have to have at least 51%.
Because, yeah, I could give 1% to my daughter and be like, oh, we're a woman. You know, or
you could. Yeah.
Okay. So that's cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And then what I guess they do is that then they have to come and they have to like audit to see, like, are you really in charge? Like, are you a real owner? Let's look at the books. Like they kind of go into it. So you can't just like claim you are. Mm-hmm. They really have to look at kind of like the nuts and bolts of things.
Yeah. Okay. So I think if you think about a lot of these big like OEM automotive or aerospace defense contracts, they're a lot of times really relationship oriented and it could be a really high barrier for an industry that's predominantly male dominated, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this kind of, like you said, you called it a starter pack.
It is.
Jumping board or whatever. Launch pad. Jumping board.
I was like, it
what
is.
What the heck is a jumping board?
I don't know, but you just said something weird. So I'm going to roll with it to help you out. So
yeah, launch pad.
Like a springboard or something. Is that what you were looking for?
Somebody's going to invent a jumping board and help me out here. But yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And so are you through the process? Have you just started the process?
We just started. So I've got a few more months to go, but it's great. I mean, I was just on the phone with a defense company and they were asking about that. But the coolest thing is the person that was part of the procurement was a woman. And I just think that is so fun to see how the dynamics are changing and like women really want to be working with women.
Yeah.
So,
well, speaking of changing dynamics, you had some ideas. We were talking in the car on your way here.
Yeah.
And you were talking about just how much things have changed. And
oh, yeah.
So maybe shed some light on that. Like when you jumped into the industry, however long ago it was.
I don't want to age myself. So I'm going to say three years ago.
3 years ago.
I'm still a baby.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Like how much has things changed?
Everything's changed, right? I mean, just down to systems. I mean, we used to do things super archaically. Now you have these awesome ERP systems that have real fun things. I mean, the technology has changed. The people have changed. We're just, everyone's like upping their game, which I think is really neat. Mm-hmm. We were even talking about your branding, right? Like people are really understanding that you have to have a brand. You have to market.
Those are things that women are usually better at.
Like, yeah, because we're visual, right? Yeah. And we are very attuned to detail.
I mean, you walked into the Making Chips headquarters and asked what color gray was on the wall.
100%.
Do you remember what it was called?
Aloof gray.
Aloof gray. And I'm like, well, that's perfect because I'm aloof all the time. But I was just laughing like that's something no man would ask. Like, oh, no. What shade of gray is that?
No, so. You're more like, where's my beer? What kind of beer? I love it, though. God
Not
bless.
Not alcoholic beer for me today.
Lame.
I know, I am. But hey, I got to go to an interview for homeschooling my kids. I can't be the guy who had alcohol.
You have to be a good dad
that.
Today.
Yeah. I got to put on my Sunday best.
Hey, Metalworking Nation. Jason Zenger here. Do you know I operate on NetSuite, the ERP when you need one source of truth for all of your data, your CRM, your accounting, your operations, everything. If this is you, you should know these three numbers, 36,000, 25, and 1. 36,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. One, because your business is one of a kind, so you get customized solution for all of your KPIs in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage your risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/chips. That's netsuite.com/chips to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/chips. Do it now.
Okay, so the next thing, you said technology has changed a lot, but like, still, you as a woman, when every 3 years ago when you started versus
Thank you
as a woman
I appreciate
now,
that. Much better.
You're starting to see a lot change. Is there any other elements that you feel like have really changed a lot in terms of like maybe the type of work that we're doing? Or
of course, right? There's more intricacy. You know, I think like the days where everyone's just making a donut no longer really applies. I mean, just look at engineering, for example. Things are just really catapulting. It's different, like different sizes, different types of manufacturing that I didn't even know existed until I was here, right? And like really understood all the manufacturing, right? You've got stamping, you've got machine turning, you've got conveyors, you've got so many different things.
Yeah, like as a family business kid like you, you go in and you think manufacturing is what your family's business does. And then you start to get out, spend some time in leadership or in sales, and you see all these other shops. You're like, man, there's so many different processes out there.
Yeah.
I think in general, too, it's not so physically demanding. It's more...
Not anymore, right? I mean, it was, totally.
And that, I think, is a great equalizer for women. Because it's more about your mind, your creativity, and it's not about, like, how much you can lift or whatever, right?
So how I think that... How much you can bench.
Girl, do you even lift?
I know, I need to. I'm getting a little soggy in my arms. No, but... Yeah, things have definitely changed and it's nice to see. I also have noticed more women, and I know we talked about this before, coming into the field. Some don't stay and that's okay. But I think just having the ability to check it out is really neat, whether you come back to it or not. There's a lot of women that I've met early on in my career that left it and now we're coming back to it. So I think that's cool too. And also a testament of manufacturing that like it ebbs and flows.
Why do you think that is, that they leave and then they...
And then they come back?
Yeah.
I think people, especially when you're young, you're trying to figure out who you are, what you are, what you want to do. So you go and you try other things. And then when you realize, hey, this was actually a great career. I was able to advance more, do more. It's challenging. I'm not doing the same monotonous stuff. I'm not making 80 calls a day. Here I am learning something new, applying something. I'm making a difference. I'm taking something that was from concept to reality. I think that excites women too. And I think in today's age, as the new millennials are kind of coming into play, we're a lot different, right? So I think the dynamics are changing.
We all know Drew Crow. He calls them screenagers.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone's got a screen in front of them all the time.
And
there's a lot of disadvantages to that, but there's a lot of advantages to that. I learned so much about like what's out there. Oh, look at this new cutting tool. that I didn't know existed, or this new process, or shoot, like, when do you apply cryogenic machining? Or
so
and you
true.
Can learn that from your screen in like a cool 30-second clip that probably don't know, learn everything about it, but it introduces it to you.
Yep.
And I think so many young men and women like just don't get enough of it introduced to them. So it's kind of cool. The creators, the media creators out there in the manufacturing space, like, I don't know how all these algorithms work, but I know that people who aren't in manufacturing are going to see this a little bit here and there. And some of them might really take an interest to it. And some ladies might take an interest to it when they hear like you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're like a pretty girly girl, right? I mean,
I'm very girly. You're like, but I also like to get my hands dirty, right? Yeah. So I'm like this weird dynamic.
But you don't have to be like a full blast tomboy to get into manufacturing.
No.
That's my point. You know, you can be
manufacturing versatile, right? Like if you look at manufacturing in general, look at all the differences in there, right? So I just think that that's probably not showcased enough.
Right.
And so when we're talking about women trying to get into this industry, it's one of those things that I love to kind of show on my social pages is like, look at me, look at my team. We're all different. We're all a different walk of life. And yet here we are. So I want it to be appealing that it's like, you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to be a certain way. You know, if you love math and you love machining, like getting your hands dirty and applying, I think this is the way to
and
go.
And creating too. Like even the artist, you don't have to be the scientific person. Even the artist can find beauty and place and a purpose in this industry.
Oh, for sure. Right. That's marketing. Right. Yeah. I walked in here. I'm like, oh, I want to take something from here and apply it in some facet to the company at HM because I think it's going to benefit. Right.
Did you know that creative. I was an artist growing up. Like that's what I wanted to be as a painter. Like,
really?
Yeah. And then like I got into this industry. I was always like, I'm not going to work for the family business. And I got into it through like the creative side.
Yeah.
I told my dad I wanted to be in marketing. And
did he laugh?
Well, he gave me the best advice ever. I've brought this up a few times. He said, I'm not going to let you be in marketing until you're in field sales for a while, more on the service side.
So you understand what you're marketing to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, if you can't solve like one person's problem, you're not going to like write our website where thousands of people see it.
True.
And so it was just, I mean, I grew up working in the shop too, so I kind of knew how to build the stuff, but
yeah.
I thought that was really great because now I feel like I'm marketing to a person that I know or I've met or have talked to instead of just like so many marketers in our space are just like, they don't know anything about the industry
I
and
know.
They're just trying to like say buzzwords that they think people will like. And it's super dumb.
It is. I mean, so what do you say to your daughter then, right? Because she's what, 9?
Yeah, she's 9. So it's funny you brought that up because I did a little, I don't know, experiment, a little beta test of what she thinks. And my daughter's like super bright. It's really cool. So she'll watch like Shark Tank with my wife all the time.
Oh, I love that. See, that's how you start them, right? When you want to get women into some sort of manufacturing, it's a product. That's good.
I could see her, I don't know what she's going to be, but I could see her being an entrepreneur. And if she wants to, I just want her to know like, hey, you can come work for us. You can start your own business. But do you know what an entrepreneur is? And she's like, not really. I'm like, do you know what an industry is? And she's like, no. Like, okay, so like a type of business is an industry, you know? So mommy's family runs a restaurant. So they're in the restaurant, the hospitality industry. Daddy's business runs a manufacturing company. We're in the manufacturing industry. And she's like, well, what's manufacturing?
I love that. That's so cute.
And I'm like,
I'm still trying to figure it out myself. So why don't you tell us?
She's sitting there like poking around doing a crossword puzzle on her iPad. And I'm like, someone had to make that iPad and all the parts in there have to like fit together perfectly. And they went on different kinds of machines and they had to be made exactly right so that they fit together and so that it works and so that it's safe to use and fun to use. And she's like, well, that's really cool. And I was just like, hey, you could, you know,
you can do
it. You can be in this industry. And so it's like, they don't even know what manufacturing is sometimes when they're in high school. Like I have friends even to this day in their 30s that don't know what a CNC machine is.
Yeah. I mean, but do you blame them, right? I mean, when you take everything out of the schools, how do you learn it? They're not going to teach that. You either are someone that works on cars and understand that philosophy, or you're actually applying it in your day-to-day life. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have friends that still don't even know what I do. And I go, you know what? God bless. I don't either. I'm just like running around with my head cut off and I just go where I need to go.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, but you know how to run machines. You know how to design a part. Like, you know this world. And
yeah, but you have to apply yourself, right? So again, women that want to get into this industry, it's hard, right? So you have to be lethal in the sense that you have to know the type of manufacturing you really want to go into and then be able to do that all. It's not 100%, but you have to know at least a little bit of everything because how are you going to hire for those types of positions?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to be able to have meetings about it, production, quality, be able to get it through the throughput process and out to your customer? It's not an easy gig, but I do think that for women, it's a fun challenge. We like challenge. We're able to multitask an insane amount.
Probably, yeah. My wife says that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not listening. She's like, no, I can do two things at once.
Like, more like five at once. Yeah. Yeah. Because she's got you plus the four other kids. So that's five.
she's got to raise five of us. No, that's a good point. And like, I think, so in my mind, I'm imagining, okay, it might be harder to kind of get the clout and get the credibility if you're a woman, because the people are going to stereotype you potentially, right? Oh, you're a woman in manufacturing. Are you really?
And, yeah, but you're going to get that no matter what, right? I feel like in any industry, even if it's finance related, they're like, oh, you know, she just got it just because she knows, daddy knows the head boss over there. There's always going to be that.
And there probably is the world is full of haters and always has been. But I think once you get that to that point where you get the credibility and people are like, oh, wow, this chick is legit, then it's, you're even more legit.
Totally.
Oh, and it's so cool because she's different and she came here from like a different angle. People are going to think, wow, that's awesome. For example, even in my own life, I'm recruiting for a regional sales director position, and one of the applicants was a woman. And like, I had four or five applicants. And I was like, oh, this would be really cool if she works out. It turns out like she didn't like the gig at all and didn't want to cover the region or whatever. And it just wasn't a good fit. But if all things were equal, it's kind of cool to have that different perspective, you know, having a female on your team.
So talking about that, because I think that that's kind of funny. What I think women do really well is like we think outside of the box, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the same thing as I'm looking for a sales engineer, but it doesn't need to be an engineer per se. I'm just looking for someone that can go out there, do the sales, kind of buddy-buddy with our current customers, make sure that's going well, and then kind of spin off to do kind of other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Randomly scrolling on TikTok and the algorithms of the such. And here was this girl, young woman, and she's on TikTok and she's talking about the whole problem that she's having about not being able to be recruited seriously because she got laid off. And she was talking about this entire experience about her being laid off and other things that have been happening to other women that are just getting laid off and that they're trying to find jobs, but they're so overqualified. And so a lot of these companies won't even look at them because their main problem is like, well, you're going to get bored. And so here she is making all of these stories, all these TikToks. And so like I randomly like DM'd her and I'm like, hey, just going to like shoot my shot. Mm-hmm. Looking for a salesperson. Think you'd be great because you're obviously able to articulate. You see the problems that are happening and what you're facing and you're trying to like go around it. Right. She's using TikTok pretty much as like a base to try to probably land a job.
Yeah.
Which I think is fabulous because there she is like thinking outside the box.
Like a different angle. Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
And so we have something scheduled for us to like talk. And so here it is, just like a random person on TikTok that's from Chicago that's looking for a job. And I'm like, this is the type of person I want.
See,
right.
That's awesome.
Female.
Yeah.
But as I'm saying, like women are fun in the way that we're not traditional in that sense. Like we like to do a lot of different things. Like we play it up however we can.
I can't remember whose quote this is, but I'm going to Michael Scott. Got it and claim it as my own. I always like different is always better than better.
Yeah.
And what I mean is like, don't just be the same thing and be a little better in the exact same way, but come
switch
at it from
up.
A different angle. And like that, what a cool example, you know, using TikTok to like become attractive to a recruiter essentially,
sure.
or an employer who's recruiting. And then coming at it from a different angle, maybe you hire a woman in a role where normally the past five people in that role were a man, and now you've got this different angle. You've got this new perspective.
Yeah.
I lead a sales and marketing team, right? So the people I hire are typically sales or applications related. I know for a fact it'd be easier to get into doors if 10 guys are trying to like, hey, can I sell you something? And then you get a nice message from a female like, hey, I'd like to come in and talk to you about this. Like, yeah, you're probably going to get more yeses than
no's, you know, for sure.
Uncle Bob over there.
Uncle Bob. Yeah, I just think like any sort of like micro change in organization is great.
Yeah.
You have to start changing little by little. It doesn't need to be massive shifts, but doing something different a little bit just to see what works and what doesn't, I think is just awesome. And yeah, I love the female perspective. Like I said, a lot of my interns are female because I feel like I need to nurture that, right? I want them to be excited about manufacturing. I want them to look at this.
So you're like the big sister, like, hey, let me show you how this is. Yeah, that's cool.
I think it's so fun. And I know I've said this many times before is that I feel a disservice in a way that like, had I been involved in the business much earlier, I feel like I would have been ahead of the game. And so I want to take that perspective and like bring it to these younger females and be like, all right, here's what I got for you. Look how dope this is. Look how awesome this is. Look how it's changing. Look at the technology. And I think like I see a glimmer of excitement. And there's a few engineering students that have gone on to like do big things. And I think that that is so badass.
So any of these interns, have they stuck around for like a long-term career? Is that a newer development?
So a couple of them have, right? So I've got one girl, Julia, who came to me just doing her robotics degree. Mm. And now she's taking that. I got her like a real girl internship, right? Because I only have like one robot. You can only do so much with me.
Right, yeah.
And she's got like a real girl, big girl internship over at Matrix. In what is it, Bartlett, doing like big systems.
Cool.
And I think that that's awesome, right? So when you can expand your network and be like, all right, this is as far as I can take you, but now let's take what your knowledge and your aptitude and let's scale it.
I think we need to tell her story on Lights Out.
Oh my God, she's awesome.
Because that show's all automation focused.
Yeah.
And it'd be kind of cool to get the female's perspective, like, hey, why'd you take the internship at HM and where did it go from there?
So. For sure.
That's awesome. That's
so
really cool.
That's the thing, right? So hopefully she sticks in. I think she will. I mean, the way that she talks about it, she's still interning with me 2 days a week, and then she goes to Matrix 2 days a week, and the rest of the time she's in school. So talk about the dedication and focus of someone that really wants to stay in this industry, right? And she wants to be able to create something. So I think that's even better. Now she's going to take whatever she's learned from me and from Matrix and then design something and probably take it to market. Boom. This is how
you
gotta
figure out how to get her back after that. You know, we got to get more robots.
Well, she can give me a few.
Yeah, there you go. That's awesome. All right. So we called you the big sister of manufacturing.
Ew.
I called
like
you
like your awful thing that you told me earlier. I could be the mom brand. What is that?
That was a joke.
Last I checked, Nick.
No. So what advice do you have, right? So someone's in school, maybe they're in a STEM type
program.
And they're like, hey, you know, I kind of want to be my own boss and start my own business. I feel like we've been doing so many entrepreneurial focused episodes lately on making chips, but as a female business owner, what advice do you have to someone who's considering this industry? Obviously, we've covered like, hey, there's some advantages. There's some social programs that help you get certain contracts.
Yeah.
But maybe outside of the nuts and bolts and numbers, what should they steer away from or what should they focus on as a female who's considering this
industry? So I think they need to first off figure out what type of manufacturing, right? And maybe really research all the different types of manufacturing that's out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's from food to aerospace to defense to EV to regular job shop machining. They have to figure out what they really want to stick to, number one. The second thing is then go shadow a business owner and really understand what it takes and do it in a larger capacity, not just kind of going there for 6 weeks and be like, oh, this all is so wonderful and so great. Mm-hmm. It's not, right? They need to understand that you have to have a finance understanding, your accounting. They need to understand what it takes to hire people and fire people. Mm-hmm. They need to understand metrics. They need to understand the shop. What kind of shop do you want? Do you want to have machining centers or do you want a product? What is that going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Marketing, sales, looking at estimating, right? I mean, that's also another portion.
Everybody's quoting all the time.
Yeah. And you've got to figure out that that's running a business.
I think that's such a big one, the quoting or estimating. If you don't really get how the thing is made, the entire process, if you don't really understand what the cycle time should be for that part, and if you don't have targets or KPIs, or if you don't understand how to deal with people, how to close a deal, how to market your business and position it, like everything you said, you can't do estimating without a little bit of all of that, really.
Right?
I mean, you can throw a number on a print, but you can't really like close the loop. And so I think you're fully immerse yourself in the leadership aspect of it is really good advice.
And you have to also understand people, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have some sort of empathy and some high EQ, not some. You need to have high EQ because every person is going to be so different than the next. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand what makes each person tick and how to get the best out of them to motivate them and keep on going. And that's a whole portion of running
a
business.
It's probably
people.
Abnormally high EQ if you're going to jump into this industry.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be one of your strengths because you're, what do they say? It's like a man's world here in manufacturing. And
it still is.
They call it manufacturing. You know, you hear all that stuff. And it is dominated by men primarily.
Yeah.
So if you come in, you got to come in with maybe some thicker skin.
You do. And you're going to have to block out the haters, women and men, right? There's going to be plenty of that.
Uh-huh.
But outside of finding someone that you could shadow as an owner, you need to find yourself a group.
Like we talked about back at the beginning.
Yeah, and it's so true. That's why I'm saying like networking is huge, getting involved in associations. And you don't need to be at an association and say like, okay, I'm a business. They have tiered systems. So you could come in and be like, hey, I just want a single person membership. I'm trying to grow. And then that's great because then if you're looking to open a machine shop or whatever, now you're exposed to a lot of other people. So people in banking, people that are in private equity that could help kind of be an investor. I mean, there's so many different things that it takes to become an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sad because they don't have these types of classes anymore. So people get into it thinking it's this glamorous thing because they're on TikTok and they see private jets and they see Gary Vaynerchuk, right? And he's like all of this awesome
just
stuff.
Just go crush it.
Yeah, you know? crush what? Yourself? Because like at the end of the day, like you still have to function, right? And you're going to be torn in so many different places that you're going to have to really understand that you're going to have to be all in all the time.
Yeah.
That's what entrepreneurship is. It's not vacations and whatever. I go on vacations and I'm on call all the time, still doing quotes, still handling sales, still handling problems, no matter what.
And you never said it was easy. At one point in this interview, you never said it was easy, but it could be really rewarding. And there is community. I'm starting to see so many ladies rise up and like just kind of connect with each other and support each other. And I mean, shoot, you do a LinkedIn post about some of the stories you've done with you kind of helping with your interns and being that big sister perspective. Hey, let me help you out here.
Yeah.
And then like the engagement is insane because everybody's cheering for it. You're right. There's always haters. Men and women.
Yeah.
But that's just the
world. Few farm in between, right? And that's okay because the reality is like the more that you see the community rally around, the better it is for us in general, right? I mean, I was at an NAM board meeting and people were talking about, okay, so all these people are going to be exiting the workforce and there's this reshoring initiative that everyone keeps talking about. But at a certain point, these OEMs are going to say, forget it, because there's not enough people in this industry. Mm-hmm. No one's able to produce the stuff that we're trying to bring back. Off it goes again. Right. So the more that we can rally around and get people in this industry, keep them, let them have their job shops, figure out how we could help each other, it's better for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, if you're in the Chicago area, you're looking for a good internship, Nicole, I will take you. She's ready to talk. If you're in the West Coast and you're looking for a regional sales position and you get machine tools, I mean, hit me up. Like, I'm all for it.
You should be on TikTok and you should change your location and maybe you'll find someone that way. You never know.
For being like a whatever I am, you know.
What are you? You're a millennial, aren't you?
I have no TikTok. The only social media I do is LinkedIn. It's terrible. I'm awful at this. You got to help me out.
I'm not helping you. You are on your own accord, Nick. The Nick and Nicole show. That just shows how bad you are.
I'm an old boring man.
Oh, boring bar. Boo. No, you should do it. I mean, whatever. Even have your 9-year-old. She'll get it going for you.
Oh, she's all over it. She's just cracking me up. She'll text me throughout the day now on her iPad, and it's so cute.
That's adorable.
Like, hi, Dad. What are you doing?
So now you could be like, you know what? I need you to open an Instagram for me.
You know, I got to have her back on one of these days.
Yeah.
Like a 9-year-old girl's perspective on manufacturing and just have her ask questions. I think that'd be
so fun. You know
what?
We should do that. And it should be like a yearly thing because I think it starts to change.
That's so cool. Like as she gets older, you see
what her perception
like how that changes.
Yeah. Wow.
And what a good grand finale would be. She has like some killer job working for me and just killing it. Make it.
Working for you? She's going to boot you out. That's what's going to end up happening.
Maybe I'll be working
Don't
for her.
Shortchange her.
Yeah, maybe I'll be working God. For her. I just hope she lets me keep a job at
I hope
family
she doesn't.
Business.
It's like, I walked into my dad's office. I'm like, I love you. It's been a great ride. You are officially fired June 1st. Like sometimes you have to go in there and do it. And my dad laughed because he's like, I was waiting to see how long this is going to take because apparently he did it to his dad. And so my mom goes, just wait, you fired me 40 something years ago. Just wait till our daughter does it to you. And so when I was finally able to do that, my mom was like applauding. She was like so excited.
Oh, thank you for firing Dad. Well, hey, cheers to getting to the point where you
cheers,
can fire
cheers. There you go.
Awesome. Hey, if you thought this episode was great or if you thought it sucked, just give us a review.
Yeah, but I think it's only going to suck because of you.
Right. Give us a review. Rate it on whatever podcatcher, Spotify, Apple, whatever you listen to this on. And then most importantly, the third R, rate, review, and then refer it to somebody. Like, you know, if this is applicable to your daughter, your niece, your friend who's thinking about entrepreneurship and trying to figure out exactly how, manufacturing's awesome. That's an awesome start for any female. So
yeah. And also they can reach out to me. I take crazy messages all the time because I think it's important. And so if they're thinking about it, I'd be happy to talk to them.
So Nicole, W-O-L-T-E-R on LinkedIn. Go. And what's your email? How do they get a hold of you?
Oh my God. My email's so long.
What is it? Just go.
Nicole.Wolter@hmmanufacturing.com.
That's not too bad.
Well, when you just spell it out, yeah.
Awesome. And what do we want to leave all of these ladies with? We have a sign off. It's true regardless of where you're at in metalworking. If you're not making chips,
then you're not making money.
Bam.